We are looking at Psalms, and there's a group of Psalms called Miktams. Now, Psalm 56 is one of these Psalms. I think it would be good if we just read the Psalm, Psalm 56, and verses 1 to 13. It has a heading, and the heading is, "The Chief Musician Set to the Silent Dove in Distant Lands." That was probably one of the names of the tunes. And then it says, "A Miktam of David." And it gives some of the background now. It says, "A Miktam of David, where the Philistines captured him in Gath." And then David says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up, fighting all day. He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can man do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. And they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I might walk before you in the light of the living?" So this is one of David's Psalms, and as I mentioned, it's called a Miktam, Psalm 56. And the term Miktam appears in six headings. Six different psalms fall into this category. And I'll give you them very briefly. Psalm 16, Psalm 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60. These are Miktams. Now, what is that? Well, the exact meaning isn't exactly clear, but most common meaning, most commentaries say it means a golden psalm, a psalm whose letters are worthy to be written in gold. And of course, Psalm 16 is truly a golden psalm because it speaks of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. So that's really a golden psalm. But we gather a further meaning from the root word, the root meaning of the word, which means to cut or to engrave. And the idea is that the psalm is so valuable that it's worth inscribing it on a memorial or a permanent pillar, that it may be seen continuously. And this, whatever the exact meaning is, we know this for sure, that all the psalms are inspired by God, and they are all very precious unto us. These scholars say that these are more precious. Well, they are all precious. And our subject today is David looks to the Lord. He's in extreme danger. He trusts and he has confidence. And from this, we will see an application that when there's danger in our lives or discouragement, the best thing to do is to trust in the Lord and have confidence in Him. So David's writing this psalm, and we get the background for the psalm from the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10 to 15. I think we should read it. Then David arose and fled that way before Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land?" Did they not sing to one another in dances, saying, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David has his tens of thousands"? Verse 12, now David took these words to heart, and he was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, and he pretended madness in their hands, and he scratched the doors, and he scratched the gate, and he let his saliva fall down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see, this man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you may bring this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So this is the background. The background is this. Saul is hunting David to kill him. He's running from Saul. And he thinks, I will go in desperation. I've got to find safety. So David flees to the king of the Philistines, to Gath, the hometown of Goliath. Well, he's hoping to find some security there. He's hoping to find a hiding place there, running to this pagan king. Yet the protection that he expected never happened. Instead of a welcome, the Philistines quickly recognized him and said, "Is this not the one who slew our champion Goliath?" Now David is very afraid. There's hatred all around him. There's real, serious danger. Can you see his condition? It's not, he's got wolves all around him. He's got Saul hunting him. He's got now the Philistines wanting to kill him. And he is extremely afraid. He's surrounded by enemies, in other words. Enemies on every side. Oh, I don't know if you felt like that sometimes. That you are surrounded. That there's no way out. You just don't know what to do. You've tried your level best, like David tried. But as we go through Psalm 56, we find that David finds rest from his many troubles. He at last finds deliverance. And this is what we're going to be looking at today. And this was his answer. This is what brought peace to David's situation. As bad as it was, he said, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can man do to me?" I was reading, trying to select which psalm of the Miktam to preach on today, and they were all so good. I was reading Psalm 60, which is also a Miktam. And one thing that I noticed in all these Miktams, David is in serious trouble. Serious trouble. Not just a little bit of trouble, but very serious trouble. In Psalm 60, for example, all he's scattered. He feels that God has cast him off. He's got war on two sides. And he's got war on the northern side, and he's got war on the southern side. And what's worse, he feels that he has no divine commission to have done this war. He's just done it out of his own mind. And he knows that God is displeased with him. So it's a multi-layered problem. There's physical enemies. He knows that that he has done wrong, and he's extremely worried. And the Bible says it like this. It says that David and his men were made to drink the wine of astonishment. So it's a bad problem. What did they do? To sum it all up, the reason why all this had happened was, we see it in the first verse of Psalm 60, they had displeased the Lord. They had displeased the Lord. And this is the root of their trouble. And then David says to himself, if we had pleased you, Lord, you would have dealt kindly with us. He acknowledges his sin, and in a cry, he turns to God, and David turns himself to God's word, to God's promises, and he remembers God. He remembers God's promises to him, and he says, you have spoken, Lord, in holiness. And this silences all the voices of trouble and doubt and fear in his minds. He recalls what God, who cannot lie, has promised. And although the situation doesn't really change instantly, he has that calmness in his heart. God has spoken. I remember these promises. In his holiness, he has spoken. Faith looks to God. Faith does not look to the facts, but faith looks to God. And God's promise is fact. God's promise is not fiction. And we see this psalm closes with a great victory. Through God we shall do valiantly. Now David's changed from fearing to, through my God we will do valiantly. For through him we shall tread down our enemies. We cannot go through all of these psalms, but read them at home and you will see the tremendous deliverances that came to David and the tremendous problems that he faced, problems bigger than you and I will ever face in the physical realm. But from all of them, the Lord delivered him. David's own words were, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Psalm 34, verse 6. So that sums up all these various miktams, but we want to focus today upon Psalm 56. And Psalm 56, verse 1, speaks of a man that is troubling Saul, and that is troubling David, and that man is Saul. And in verse 2, we see it's not only a man, we see there are many enemies. There are people watching him, keeping a sharp and an unfriendly eye upon him. And David complains to the Lord. Now he's really complaining to the Lord. Lord, there are many that fight against me. The people are not just ordinary people, Lord. They are people in high places. They are people in authority, Lord. People in Jerusalem and in Gath. In other words, he's saying, Lord, my enemies are people of great power, great persuasion. And David takes these details to God in prayer. He honestly describes his danger and the severe oppression. He describes how fierce the enemy is, how determined the enemy is. His fear is real. It's very serious. And humanly speaking, there seems to be no way out. We learn a marvelous truth here. God invites honest prayer about real trouble, but David, in his terror and great danger on all sides, he pens a prayer for us that we learn some such valuable truths. As he's pouring out his complaints to the Lord. And he's really, possibly, he's even feeling sorry for himself. And self-pity is one of the terrible things that pulls us down and destroys our lives. And so David's crying for help, but suddenly he interrupts his complaining. And he says, and he makes a declaration, and we read this declaration in verse 3. Stops complaining, and he says, "Lord, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." He reminds himself not to only complain. He reminds himself to keep faith alive. He even in these terrible, terrible problems, he's declaring faith and confidence in God. And then in verse 5, he goes back to complaining. And he's complaining, he's saying, "All day long they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil." And it's, and then we see in verse 7, it comes again, hope and faith in the Lord. And then David says, "Every step I take, every enemy that is against me, I take comfort, Lord. I take comfort in you. I know, Lord, you see. You see these enemies. You are all-knowing. You are all-caring, the all-caring Father. You put my flood of tears in your bottle." And David is asking, really, what this means is David is asking that the Lord would remember his many sorrows. David had many tears. You know, when we say a bottle, we think of a little bottle. David had a flood of tears, many problems. It wasn't a little bottle. Then David says, "Are they not in thy book? All my problems, are they not in thy book?" Yes, every sorrow was written there. We could say that this book speaks of, it's a figurative way of describing the extent of God's faithful memory of his people. It's engraved on God's mind. He sees and he knows, and it's written, and God is mindful of us. That's what David is saying. I think of Psalm 111, verse 5. And the psalm, that verse says, "He has given food to those who fear him, and he will be ever mindful of his covenant." That's what David is reminding himself. The Lord is ever mindful of his covenant. He's ever mindful of me. I'm his child. And he's saying how gracious the Lord is to humble himself and come down to me. And his knowledge is perfect. He misses nothing. He knows everything. He understands our every weakness. And he has loving kindness. And he has mercy. His care is gentle. And David knows this. And he remembers him. This is what he reminds himself in this terrible problem. And he calls this precious truth to mind. That's what you and I must do. When we are surrounded by enemies, we must call the promises to mind. And he knows that even although his enemies are so strong, so impossible, he knows that the moment he calls upon the name of the Lord in prayer, they will be scattered. That's his hope. He knows that. And he says, "In the day he calls upon the Lord in hope," verse 9, "then my enemies will turn back when I call. This I know, because God is for me." And what we must learn from this prayer of David, we cannot just go to prayer with only complaints Only, oh Lord, I'm suffering. It's so difficult. Everybody's against me. Men are twisting my words. Men are against me. I have not multi-layered problems. I have this, and I have this, and I have this. Oh, well, what we have to do is we have to pause our complaint, and we have to recall what God has said. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. So this is this is what David is really saying here. He's saying in verse 11 again, we see it. He stops complaining and he says, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. He says it again. What can man do to me? If God be for us, what can man do to me? And we have to remind ourselves of this, because when there are enemies all around, like in David's case, if we only look at the enemies and do not look at the promises, oh, how difficult. We will just sink lower and lower. And we often try, don't we, in our futile strength to remove the problems. We often try with our methods, but they never seem to work. And David shows us here the sure way of removing terrible fears. This is God's way. Trust in the Lord. This will keep your heart from sinking. Trust in God brings faith. It brings hope. It brings comfort. It causes us to expect deliverance. Deliverance not from our strength, deliverance from His hand. And this is the result of interrupting your complaining and your grief. Faith and hope arises the moment we put our faith in God. But how do we trust God? What specifically do we put our trust in? We can't see God, so how can we trust Him? Well, we trust in His eternal promises, in His eternal word. Verse 4, it says, in God, and it says, I will praise His word. In God I've put my trust. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We trust in His power. His word is His power. We trust in His wisdom. His word is His wisdom. We trust in His justice, His mercy, His sufficiency. God is more than enough. There's not one problem that's too difficult for God. Oh, we don't need to trust them. Trust in our own ability. We trust in the Lord, in His eternal promises. Fear and worry may not completely disappear when we find a promise. We may still be anxious. Anxiety still may be present, but it loses its grip on our minds. It doesn't rule. It doesn't have to dominate our minds and cripple us in our walk with God. When faith arises and it's resisted, it is overcome. It is overcome. It can be resisted. This terrible anxiety can be resisted and overcome by faith in God. David shows us, and he has more fears and more reason to fear than all of us. And he says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in You. When I'm afraid, I will trust in You, O Lord. Fear may continue, but fear is no longer our master. By a conscious act of faith, fear is pushed to the background. It's still there, but it's pushed to the background. It hasn't got dominion over you anymore. It's not paralyzing you. Trust in the Lord prevails, and faith triumphs over fear. Faith always triumphs over fear. Trusting in the Lord always eventually pushes fear into the shadows, and faith stands victorious. So why is it so important to trust the Lord? Because there's no other way. There's no one else that can remove these fears. Only the Lord, only His word. Fear without trust is crippling. Crippling. It paralyzes us. But fear and trust united, there is deliverance and there's help. So the moment, even in my fear, I put my faith and my trust in the Lord, oh, there is deliverance and help coming my way. And when God appears, my enemies will flee. Oh, when light comes, darkness goes. It's so easy for the Lord. When I cry unto thee, when I cry unto you, O Lord, then my enemies shall turn back. As soon as I pray, they shall run. As I pray, they shall be defeated. This is what David is saying. This is what he believes. He knows the Lord is true. And this is how swift and how quickly the Lord answers prayer. It reaches our Father in heaven. And this is how kind our God is to us. You see, when our Lord was on earth, He spent many hours in prayer. He sometimes prayed all night. He sometimes woke up in the morning and prayed very early in the morning. Well, He made a way for us. He opened a road to heaven for us, for our prayers to go on. We know that He made a new and a living way by His precious blood, and we have access to the Father. Now, I want you to consider this. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, 100% God and 100% man, Jesus was equal with His Father, yet Jesus still needed to pray as a man. And if our Lord needed to pray, we will need to pray. And if we do not pray, fear will get a hold of us and pull us down. Let us be ones who use this weapon of prayer. There's no weapon like the weapon of prayer. There's nothing as powerful as the weapon of prayer. It wins the battle every time. Every time God hears the cries of His children, the moment He hears the cries of His children, even the strongest enemies are scattered. This I know, says David. In other words, he's got a firm assurance. He believes the promise. Faith is high. This I know. And he has this, that truth cannot be overturned. God cannot be stopped. God is for me. God is with me. When we know this, all that which is against us and is terrorizing us, it loses its terror. God is for me. What can they do to me? What can man do to me? God is for me. God hears my cries. God's hand is extended towards me. How wonderful it is. If God is for us, who can be against us? How can our enemy silence our prayers? He cannot silence our prayers. I saw just today, actually, a poster that when our enemies attack us, it drives us to even more prayer. So our enemies think that they are stopping us, but they're not. They're only causing us to cry out to the Lord more. And this force of prayer can never be resisted. Never be thwarted. God always answers. Why should we look anywhere else for help when we've got prayer, when we've got a God who hears, when we've got a God who is so faithful, a God who is immediately present when we call upon his name. This is what David knew. And, you know, when we pray, it's really me sending a signal to God, saying, Lord, I'm so weak. I cannot do this without you. I need your help. Lord, I'm here. And it's sending a signal that we need his help. And the signal declares that I place my trust in you, Lord. I have confidence in you. And this is what David was doing. He was reminding himself that God was for him. He was reminding himself that God's word never fails. Never fails. And then we know this, but I think I should mention it. David then recalled past victories. He remembered, I slew the lion. I slew the bear. The Lord is the one who helped me to do this. And then he remembers his battle against Goliath. He remembers, I was so badly prepared for this fight. I can't believe God gave me the victory. And he reminds himself of the victories that God gave him, even although he was so poorly prepared. And he reminds himself of God's great power towards him. And this is what you and I must do. We must remind ourselves of the eternal promises of God. We must remind ourselves of God's faithfulness. We must remind ourselves of past victories. If we do not, fear and discouragement will seep more deeply into us and paralyze us and make us crippled and begin to take over and hinder our prayer life. No, says David, I will not do that. I will praise his word. I will praise him. I will put my trust in him. And this is the remedy against any trouble, any problem. Now David begins not to complain. He's pouring out his heart in gratitude. Having received help, he doesn't forget to give thanks. And we mustn't be like those lepers. You remember, I think there were 10 lepers and only one came back to say thank you. When God helps us, let us go to him with gratitude and thank him for his deliverance. Thank him for reminding me of your promise, Lord. Thank you for upholding me even in this trial. And he thanked God in general at first. Oh, Lord, I thank you. You have kept covenant with your people, with your church, with Israel. But now he is specifically thanking God for the word of promise to him that is now fulfilled. The word of promise that is fulfilled. And when you and I hold on to the promises of God and we get an answer, let us be sure to thank him that they are fulfilled. And he shifted his focus. This is what we must learn to do from the present danger that we are facing. He shifted his focus to the promises of God. Praise is not denial of fear. It's a defense, or it's a defiance against fear. It's not presumption. It's based on covenant confidence. I have covenant confidence. God is for me, that God will stand with his redeemed people. I'm God's child. I'm his son. He will help me. He will stand with me. It's based upon eternal promises. One of my favorite Bible verses is Isaiah 41, verse 10 to 14. Fear not, I am with you. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who were at war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, I will help you. Fear not, O worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. So David acknowledges that it is only the Lord who is his helper. He remembers the wonderful promises. Let me give you just one or two. In Psalm 91 and verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. When we face trouble, we should remember that. When we call upon him, he will answer, and he will be with us in trouble. What to do what? I will deliver him, and I will honor him. Psalm 91, verse 15. So we must remind ourselves of these. We should write them out and stick them somewhere where we can read them while we're getting dressed, maybe on the mirror, or keep them in the back of your Bible, these wonderful promises of God. Another one, Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him to deliver them. The Lord is going to deliver me. I fear him. I respect him. I honor him. And then the final verse in Psalm 56. I read it in the King James. Thou hast delivered. You have delivered my soul from death. And then he says, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I might walk before you in the light of the living? That simply means, because you have delivered me, it's the language of gratitude. Thank you, Lord, you have delivered me. And you've delivered my soul from death. I thought I would never get out of this, but you got me out, O Lord. And then it's the language of faith. We see in the next sentence, the language of faith. Wilt not thou keep my feet from falling? That which I'm going to face in the future, Lord, will you not keep me? I know you will. You're faithful. As you delivered me from this, you will deliver me from everything else as well. And then it's the language of hope, that I may walk, that I may walk. So David, in closing, David says, the Lord is mindful of him. And he says, I will praise you. He praises the Lord for his grace. He praises the Lord for his promises. He doesn't forget past mercies. Forgotten mercies won't strengthen you. Recall the past mercies. They will strengthen you. Forgotten mercies won't encourage you. Remember, his faithfulness and his goodness is one of the great lessons that we learn from this psalm. Amen.